Attention El Paso artists, the Museums and Cultural Affairs Department is seeking local artwork for public areas of municipal buildings as part of the 2020 Artwork Purchase Program. They are looking for completed paintings, drawings, photographs, and mixed media work that represents the artistic talent and cultural diversity in El Paso. Here to tell us all about the program is Ben Fife. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hey, Marina. Nice to be here again.
Good to be here with you as well. And before we start, congratulations on the big promotion.
Oh, thank you so much. It's I don't know if it's congratulations or condolences. It's,
right.
It's a lot going on. But I am always up for a challenge, and this one is it's been really fun.
Well, it's kind of a big job, so yeah, hats off to you.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm not sure a lot of people realize, but I had been interim for the Parks and Recreation Department since February. And then when Tracy Jerome took her promotion to Deputy City Manager earlier in the year, I kind of was stepping in and doing that as well. So it just made everything official, which is kind of nice because you're actually able to come in and make decisions and not necessarily feel like you're just keeping a seat warm. So we can actually start moving things forward, which is great.
Which is kind of what you're doing with this whole program. Having been on the Public Art Committee in the past, I'm very aware of what it is, but let's let folks know how you're able to spend money on buying local artists' work, especially now, which I think is really cool, by the way.
Absolutely. So the Public Art Program operates from what is called the 2% allocation. So anytime the city decides to do construction, renovation, new projects, 2% gets pulled out for artwork. And typically what we do is we actually will commission an artist to do something that will be integrated into the actual project. But periodically we have bits of money that go into a pool, and we use those to actually buy artwork that we can then use to put into older facilities to be able to make sure that people walking into City Hall, they're going to pull a permit at City 3, you know, if they're going into the multipurpose center on Sao Paulo, wherever they're going, they'll actually be able to encounter works by local artists. And so it's really incredibly cool to be able to make sure that artwork is everywhere in this community and that it reflects everybody in this community. But we decided that now is a really great time to be able to release some money into the hands of local artists.
Yeah, it's kind of the perfect time because I think a lot of them, you know, are used to galleries, you know, performances, very experiential type ways to sell their wares, and it's kind of gone.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we've done a lot of research looking into how the pandemic has really affected our local creative sector. And it's not surprising. I mean, it's really had an effect on every sort of public-private sector throughout the United States, really throughout the world. But local artists have really felt that. And I think beyond just what people would assume, which is, you know, the fact that there aren't really galleries and openings or, you know, not necessarily the weekly downtown art and farmers market. Aside from that, so many artists have their day jobs. They have right. The gig that actually pays the bills. And for a lot of them, it actually is in service industry, which has been incredibly badly affected. And so artists really have kind of taken a double hit. And that's exactly why we decided it was time to act and to release this money.
Did you kind of have that in your back pocket as you came into this new position? Or did you already know, hey, we're going to do this, kind of looking for options to help out the local artist community?
We had money specifically set aside for art purchase. It was really funny. We kind of knew we needed to do it sometime soon because we're getting a lot more requests for artwork in city facilities. And right now we have about 119 works in that rotating collection, and it's not enough. And so we knew we needed to replenish the stock. And then when the pandemic hit and everything just sort of started snowballing, it really made it very apparent to us that we needed to move quickly to release these funds. We have about $100,000 to be able to purchase work in this iteration. But that's $100,000 that will go into the hands of local artists. And it's just one of the ways that we plan on helping our creative sector be able to sort of ride the storm and hopefully come out the other end stronger.
And how do you all place the art? Because I imagine they go into municipal buildings. Some folks are like, hey, I want that piece, or I want, how does that part of it work?
So that's a really good question. So we do have rules. So right now we do not allow for the artwork to go into private offices. You know, it really does need to be publicly accessible. So it's not going to go into someone behind someone's desk. You know, these are actually in the waiting areas. You know, sometimes it might be behind a counter, so you might not be able to get like really up close to it. But as you're waiting to be called up to that counter, you've got something cool to look at and think about. But what we do is we actually, once we have the artwork that has been selected, we basically put together what I think of as probably the world's coolest catalog. It really is just actually like a flip book. You can go through and see artwork that's available with the information about the artist, the size, and it's sort of first come, first served. And so we'll move through facilities, and periodically people want to rotate out, and that's kind of the beauty of this collection. Sometimes we have spaces that get reconfigured, and so we'll have to go rescue artwork because, you know, a copy machine might be like coming right up against it or something like that, and we'll find something that's more suitable. But it's constantly moving in and out, which is very cool, and it also makes sure that these buildings stay fresh.
Okay, so what are the rules? Because we say local artists, but they need to live within a 100-mile radius of here. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So we want to make sure, again, this is something that is really going to be impacting artists working in this region. And so they have to be living within 100 miles of here. They have to have a proven track record of being an artist. So if you are a very gifted amateur, you know, but this might not be necessarily the opportunity. And we also are making sure that you have to be at least 18 years of age. So because, again, we are going to be paying you for the work.
Let's say I'm an artist going through the process. I go to publicartist.org, and then I look for the purchase program link.
The City of El Paso purchase program. It's a really quick application. You can upload at least 4 images. We really urge artists to think strongly and very, very thoughtfully about the quality of those images. It's really heartbreaking sometimes when you see an artist, and you know this, you know, from past experience with any kind of art event, exhibition, opportunity. Sometimes there's a very cool work, and the artist, you know, by the time they get around to the application, send you something that's, you know, not the best representation of that. It's blurry, it's dark, you can't really tell what's there. Especially now that no one's going to be able to see it in person before we select it. We're really depending on those digital images to help the committee be able to actually vote on what works will go into the collection.
And as far as the mediums, I know it's drawing, paintings, but is there something that you're looking for? I mean, as you're building the collection, are you noticing, hey, we're missing photos, we're missing this?
You know, we've had a lot of questions on social media about photography, and we do collect photography. I would say it's probably a little underrepresented in the rotating art collection right now. But at the end of the day, we're not necessarily thinking too much about, wow, we need, you know, we really need a lot more relief sculpture. I think we're just looking at, okay, what's the coolest stuff out there? What are the works that are really going to sting? And I think make people excited about living here and make people realize how many cool artists there are here. And so I won't say that, you know, we necessarily wouldn't think about making sure that we have, you know, a variety of things, but at the end of the day, we want something really cool. And that's what people are going to ask for when they look at that catalog. Those are the kinds of works that we notice people stop and really check out in City Hall or City 1 or City 2, any of the city facilities. And so, you know, those are the things we're looking at. We also tend to think about the durability of the work too, because, you know, these are not going to have the benefit of being in a gallery setting where they're maybe a little more protected. They're going to be living out in the public. And so, you know, sometimes people are going to get really close to them, or they're going to want to explore a little more than they probably should. And so we want to make sure that the work is going to be durable, but, you know, we do make sure that it's framed. You know, if we need to put glass coverings over it, we do too. But we really want to make sure that we represent it in the best possible way. So, you know, those are the factors we're looking at.
So just make sure you upload a beautiful photo of the work that you're submitting. I think it's also something important to say, it's like, submit the actual work that is for sale. Because I think a lot of the times artists will share work that represents their work, but it's like, okay, but which one's for sale? It's nice to like give that detail, because having been there before, right?
I thought we were buying this. I'm like, oh, no, somebody else already has that. That's absolutely true. I think the last thing I would also say too is just, you know, this is definitely an opportunity where you want to know your audience, you want to read the room. And so the works need to actually be appropriate for a municipal setting where a variety of people of different ages and different backgrounds are going to encounter them. And so for the most part, I think be family friendly. They can certainly spark dialogue, but we want to make sure that they're not necessarily excluding anybody.
Awesome. That's a great point that you're making, because you're right. At the end of the day, anyone and everyone has access to them, and you want to make sure that you're not excluding folks or somehow offending people or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else is going on with the public art program as we speak?
Oh my God. So public art, as usual, is incredibly busy. We have a number of projects that are in the works. We are excited. We're going to have a pretty big announcement in the next couple of weeks that I can tease right now.
Okay.
But I think we have definitely been incredibly busy during the pandemic. I think a lot of people think that we might completely be working at home, but staff is almost every day out at a construction site. They're still doing virtual visits with artists. They're still figuring out the best way to incorporate artwork into the projects that are coming to fruition for the city. And so I've been really proud of what staff has been able to do, given the limitations of what everyone is experiencing at the moment.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of those projects, I don't know that folks even understand, you could approve or start a project 2-3 years ago, and it takes forever to kind of come out because it's part of a construction project and engineers and all this other stuff is involved. It's not as simple as...
engineers, there's community meetings.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many different layers to it. And I think that, you know, what's been kind of interesting to watch sort of the wrench in the system during the pandemic, 65% of the works that we've commissioned through public art have been local, but there are works that are coming in from artists from around the world. And we've had artists who were from hotspots, you know, during the beginning of this cycle. And so it was really difficult figuring out how do we get them here to install their works. So, you know, it's required a lot of creativity and, you know, things we might not ordinarily have done, which is ship the work. We're going to like basically Skype you in as it's getting installed so that we're okay. because we want to make sure that we're keeping also the crews that are out working there.
Yeah.
You know, there's construction crews, the engineers, architects, everybody that's involved. We want to keep them safe as well. And then we've also had the reverse. We've had artists who are, you know, in areas that are not experiencing the spikes that Texas is right now. And so, you know, they're a little squeamish about coming in too. And so we have to work around that as well. I think it's been really interesting, and we are getting ready to hopefully launch our first community meetings via Zoom in the next couple of weeks. And so we're excited about the opportunity, I think, to be able to have those community conversations again, because it really is an important part of what informs the final artwork.
No, you're absolutely right. I commend you for bringing this program, speeding it up and bringing it out during this time, because artists clearly need, you know, all the help that they can get. So the 2020 Artwork Purchase Program is currently up. The city of El Paso is looking to purchase paintings, drawings, photographs, and mixed media work that represents artistic talent from our border. The deadline is before 1 p.m. on July 28th. And what you have to do is visit publicartist.org and look for City of El Paso 2020 Art Purchase Program, and you're on your way.
Absolutely. And you can go to either the Public Art Facebook page or the MCAD Facebook page. Those directions are there. And again, it's a really quick, easy, fast application. Somebody asked why we don't give, you know, at least a month's notice, and it made me laugh really hard. And I know you know what this is like. If you give everybody a month, they still do it the night before.
It's the beauty of working with creatives. Like, I always know they're going to show up. All the lead-up conversations, you know, freak people out, but they're going to be here. It's going to be fine. It takes a while to build that, though.
Yeah, no, that's, I think, you know, the beauty of all these digital platforms that we've moved to in the last couple of years is we can tell when someone's opened the application and when they complete it. And I would say without fail, over the last 5 years, every opportunity MCAD's had, whether it's a grant, whether it's an exhibition, whether it's this, you know, something like this, the night before, about 90 to 95% of what finally gets submitted is started.
Hey, the data is there.
Absolutely.
Today, my guest has been Ben Fife, and we've been talking about the 2020 Artwork Purchase Program. You can also link to it from the KTEP page. I'll make sure to have the link there for artists to link through. It's open through 1 p.m. on July 28th. Thank you, Ben, for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.